The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
What is going on, people? Welcome to Throw Down Your Questions, episode 595. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
What's up, people? How's it going?
Carlos Romero.
Yo, yo, yo.
Richard Bailey Jr.
What's up, everybody?
And Brian Manjoma.
What up, what up?
All right, guys, we have returned. No Chris action. His back is not doing well, so, you know, we got to rest up. Brett will probably show up later, and I'll probably be that unless Adam makes a sneak peek appearance.
A special appearance by Adam.
Yeah. But before we start, Manny, you're looking different.
Yes. I finally got to it. I finally upgraded to my new computer, which me and my girlfriend put together last October.
Oh, man.
So it's been sitting in a box for how long is that? 5 months?
No, it's longer than that, Manny.
Yeah, it's been a while.
I don't know. It's been sitting in there for a while. I made, you know, obviously this is the, you know, Windows is not going to be supporting Windows 10. They haven't been. So, you know, I also, you know, purchased these parts like right at the cusp when everything just started to explode. So I don't have the most advanced RAM, but I have a RAM in it. I got a new processor. I'm using your 1080.
The 1080 Ti. Yeah, nice.
Yeah, using the 1080 Ti. So I'm using that old graphics card. So
GTX, people, back in those days.
GTX. Hey, man, that's top of the line now, according to the way things are going. Yeah. Right. So yeah, I got
you got that DDR5 RAM though.
Yes.
Nice. Very nice.
At least you got the crack. At least have 32 inside of here, but obviously
I can. Oh man, it's balling. That's better shit than I got. I got DDR4.
Wait, you know? Do it. Hey, Jossie, what do I got?
Uh oh,
32.
Yeah, but what is this?
What kind of is?
Ooh, fancy. Yeah. So fancy boy.
So, I can check, but
yeah,
they're like blood diamonds these days.
For not real. Don Cheadle, where you at?
when we bought them, it was on the cusp of going up. Mm-hmm. So like it was in the like $200 to $300 range. So
I remember when you were buying them, you were like, guys, what's going on with RAM prices?
Yeah, I'm like, well, yeah, what's going on? So yeah, so we, you know, I picked what was like financially I could afford, and I managed to put something together. A lot of help. All of my technology is sort of like old. So I'm like, you know, the last time I put together my computer was years ago, and like the last computer I think I bought that in 2012, and I was still running that one. You know, keeping it alive by throwing in some more RAM, and I have that another graphics card that you had given me beforehand inside of there. So you know,
that's funny.
But yeah, you know, now what? Everything runs better. Like, don't have any of the biggest bottleneck for, at least for me doing the podcast, was like my video, because it's running apparently.
Yo, speaking of video, you know what you look like actually? What? You look like OLED Manny, OLED.
Yeah, because you got that, you know, that deep black. You know.
Yeah, back then it was like a little bit more bright.
Yeah, LCD Manny. You know,
LCD Manny. Yeah. I mean, also I'm also running things through OBS too. Really? So it has my old OBS settings on there, and I have a LUT on top of this too that sort of gives it a little bit, you know, gives my skin a little bit of color too.
Good stuff. All right, man, let's get into it. Questions, people. Gonna start off with some of Lego Bros questions. First one here is, since Xbox is doing really badly right now with those god awful financials, should they scrap the whole exclusive thing with Gears of War E-Day? It's too late for that. It's going to be exclusive, even though that, in my opinion, was a last minute decision too. You know, we already knew that game was already coming to PS5.
To be honest, I think the exclusive thing is only going to be free, just like last time. They're probably going to give it like a year, and then they're just going to throw, because they've already proven that if they hold off on a sale, kind of like what they did on Indiana Jones, you can get a little bit more life out of it if you put it out maybe a year later. Like what was it for the last Forza game? It was like a few years later, and it was another game that was also new that got a later release. So I think it's eventually going to be coming.
Yeah. Oh, Gears Edict, despite what's said right now, because again, remember originally that game was supposed to be on PS5, and you know, Asha listened to Twitter and she changed her mind.
I don't think like if they're looking at the numbers of happening with Halo currently, and I hear they're really damn good, they're probably
yeah. What about the rest of you guys? What do you think?
Yeah, I agree. It's probably going to be a timed exclusive. This whole thing, this whole charade that they pulled off with, oh no, Gears of War Edict is an exclusive game. You know, just trying to get the fanboys happy for a split second.
It's funny that we're talking about this in the first one, and I had just gone to Target, and my God, there is no Xbox Sension in a Target.
Yeah.
Like PlayStation, Nintendo, they have two full rows of their stuff. You know, Nintendo has all of their, you know, Amiibos and all that other stuff. PlayStation's got a section of physical games and their controllers and all that stuff, their paraphernalia, all on two shelves. Not one Xbox section. It used to be like one shelf and like a shelf and a half, you know, with their digital games with cards, and that's all they had. So I guess everybody's, you know, saying everything digital. There's not even a real showing for Xbox out there. And not to mention,
because nobody was buying it. Let's just be honest.
And then not to mention it, I went to GameStop today too. And like, obviously they're preparing for the storm, because they already turned one section into a Pokemon card section. Right. But anyway, Xbox is like in the back of the store. Like in fact, the retro game section actually expanded, because now they have a retro game section. You could buy like old Nintendo games, or you could buy like old PlayStation 3 games and stuff like that. So you have all that section, and like Xbox is only like one shelf. It doesn't even have a moniker or a little thing that says, you know, Xbox on the top. You just look at the green boxes and you're like, oh, it's Xbox.
Yeah.
It's utterly sad. Like PlayStation has a little thing that says PlayStation. Nintendo's up in the front of the store.
Yeah. You know,
I guess they're going to be the only game in town that's actually producing physical games.
Got a question about that too later.
I'm pretty sure Asha is regretting this decision, because
yeah,
as we discussed when it happened in real time, this was simply a reactionary decision on Xbox's mm-hmm. part. And after seeing all the financials with Xbox and Microsoft, and the fact that they had to lay off all these people, like they need to generate as much revenue as they can. Gears of War Edict is one of their heavy hitters. You can't afford to not put it on PlayStation at this point. And especially considering that Game Pass is still, subscriptions have stagnated, and the people who are going to play it on your console are not going to pay for it. They're only going to pay for that subscription price that you lowered down recently. So you're not getting as much revenue there as you used to. So it's tough. I think that they have no choice but to release this later on. I don't know how the Halo numbers are right now. It isn't a new game, so maybe the numbers aren't as telling as what Gears would do.
Yeah, because I'm hearing conflicting reports. Some are saying it's doing well. Some are saying it's doing abysmal. We don't know yet. So I guess we got to wait for Matt Piscatella to tell us, you know?
Yeah, we'll see how that goes. But even if it's a million, even if you can sell Gears, a million copies of Gears of War Edict on PlayStation, that would be great. But yeah, also, you can't maximize the amount of sales anymore, because the first day sales is when you do the best. If you release it day and date on PlayStation the same time as Xbox, you would maximize your sales on PlayStation. If you release it a year later, you're just not going to sell as many games, because people aren't going to be interested in
it. Yeah, again, look at the Indiana Jones situation. When it came to PlayStation, no one gave a fuck anymore, you know?
Yeah, I mean, like, I think there's some games that like are like chomping at the bit games, but I think like something like an Indiana Jones, and we saw it happen with like Tomb Raider, you know,
yeah, where,
like,
the, yeah, that's Rise of the Tomb Raider. That's right.
Yeah, once it ran its course on Xbox, once it came to PlayStation, nobody gave a shit anymore.
Yeah.
They could always put a little shine on the, you know, the other version, but I don't think that Xbox would do anything that.
Yeah, but at the same time, like you mentioned earlier, fucking Forza 5 came out like what, 5 years later, and it blew the fuck up.
And it blew the fuck up. So it's like they're obviously their third party, you know, rollover is working, you know, in some cases.
Well, first party in that case is a first party game.
I mean, what is it? Are they third party on PlayStation?
Yeah, it would be a third party.
Party on PlayStation.
Yeah, yes, you are right. Yes, yeah. Again, but in some cases, Indiana Jones didn't work. It didn't work with Gears of War Reloaded. No one bought that on PlayStation, but the fucking card game sells.
But you know, like I would say, like for the redo of, you know, Gears of, I think the problem with that one is that there was nothing new.
Yeah,
it was just, you know, it was just bare bones Gears of War 1. Didn't even have 2 there. You know, at least Gears of 1 and 2 would have been, you know, Gears 1, 2, and 3 would have been nice to have it, right? But they didn't even do that. So it's like it didn't get like, I think a lot of quite a bit of the PlayStation current owners were former, you know, or recovering Xbox.
Yeah.
From whenever that happened, when the changeover happened. But yeah, I didn't think it didn't have enough there for people to be like, oh shit, I really need to own this. I could be wrong, but I think, again, like I think the Halo number is pretty damn good.
We don't know that. We don't know. Again, I've heard conflicting reports. Some are saying good, some are saying bad. So we'll have to wait and see. Anybody else want to jump in on this? Should Xbox stop its plans to go, for exclusives? What's up, Rich?
So here's what I will say. I think Manny made a great point. They can always release this game later on PlayStation. I personally do not think they need to release it on PlayStation now because there's going to be too many games coming out around this same time, which means it's probably not going to do as well because we have Carlos's other most anticipated game, Star Wars Galactic Racer, coming out the same day as this game. Of course, you have Wolverine, which is coming out in September. And then, of course, everybody and their mama is waiting to pick up GTA in November. So I feel like I think a majority of people are going to pick up that game on PlayStation 5. So I don't really know if a lot of people would pick up Gears E-Day at launch because there's going to be too many other games they're going to be trying to make time for coming out in September. But yeah, this game definitely, More than likely, will come to PlayStation 5 a year later or something to that effect. But I will say this. I am a bit interested to see where this strategy goes. I mean, you guys know what, like Phil Spencer said, we're going to do things on a case-by-case basis. So clearly, this is what this is. And then, of course, if they see, well, maybe we can make some more money if we release it next year, they'll probably do that. And what they will probably do is whenever they have any DLC for this game in the future, that will be when they will release it so that the PlayStation 5 owners are getting like the base game in addition to any other content that they have already released on Xbox. But of course, we have to wait and see. The last thing I will mention is we're still getting the Forza Horizon 6 game. That's coming to PlayStation later this year, even though they didn't give us a date. And they're also getting Fable. So, like I said, Gears, I think there got to be some stuff on Xbox just to see if this particular strategy works. I'm curious to see if it works. But yeah, if not, then yeah, they can always release this on PlayStation 5, I think, at a later time.
Yeah, for sure. Shout out to Brett, who's joining us.
What's up, Brett?
Yeah. We could move on because we actually got a bunch of questions. So we could move on. Unless, Brian, you wanted to say anything.
I'm with Rich here. I'm interested to see where this goes and whether or not this does change her strategy or not.
Yeah, we'll have to wait and see. All right, next question for Mr. Lego Bro. Would the new God of War game have come out this year if GTA 6 wasn't coming out in November? We have no idea. That's purely speculative.
Yeah, that's my dad.
Yeah. I understand why he's asking a question because the game's dropping in February. So the assumption is, oh, it was going to come out earlier, but they pushed it. But we don't know that.
But I mean, the thing about it is that also, that's also the other Gamageddon like time of the
that
year.
That is,
right?
Yeah.
Like, it's still part of this fiscal year. So, you know, all the way like February, March, you know, that's like the end. So they usually you'll usually get like 2 big, you know, pushes. You'll get one like in, you know, right before the holiday season and then right after the holiday in the beginning of the
new. Yeah. So yeah, I can't really go ahead, bro.
Well, I don't think everybody is like, I think that there's a lot of people avoiding the launch window of GTA, I don't think it's, nor should it be, everybody strictly from like a data point of view. It's not like one video game is going to dominate the entire holiday season, even at the inflated prices. Like, Christmas usually involves like more than one video game. I know shit's expensive, but you know what they're going to try and avoid is releasing like another shooter or Call of Duty or something that's going to, you know, have a huge crossover with their primary audience. But like, I don't know that God of War is that. So I don't think that God of War should be worrying that much about GTA, but then maybe that's just me.
Yeah, no, I guarantee you GTA 6 will dominate this holiday. I guarantee you.
Oh, it will, but like not to the exclusion of everything else. It's not like it's the only thing that's going to sell, so no other video games are going to sell. Like, it's definitely going to sell the most.
It will be to the exclusion of everything else because nothing else is coming out.
Well, yeah, true.
You know, I mean, it's competing against Godzilla and Barbie. Maybe those will, you know, hold their own, but literally those are the only two games coming out in November.
And, you know, if this were a not holiday season, I'd be saying, you know, it's not necessarily the same thing, but like if you're saying, oh, GTA is going to be the only game selling for holiday 2026, that seems like an absurd takeaway. And I honestly very much doubt that that's the takeaway that analysts have. So unless people are just being super reductive in, you know, their plans, then I don't think that that would be the case with a game like God of War.
Yeah.
Now, if we're saying like, hey, is GTA Online going to, you know, put a dent in Call of Duty? Fuck yeah, absolutely. But is single player GTA going to, you know, be the exclusion that makes the new God of War not successful? No, God of War is going to be the reason God of War is not successful.
Yeah, but again, moot point because every game on Earth is avoiding November and December. So, and October almost too. It's like, it's just this gravity well that pushes shit out, you know? It's like a reverse gravity well.
It is. Here's a thing that occurs to me. GTA better fucking deliver.
Yeah. I mean, we've been saying that.
If it's in this black hole of nothing's going to touch it and it ends up being disappointing, then it's going to be nothing but an echo chamber reverberating with disappointment for 3 months.
Yeah.
And I will laugh.
And like you said, Brett, if this game bombs, the industry is going down with it. So we'll see.
At least one of the, like, if it was bombing, like, honestly, like, the fucking media is so halfway up the developer's asses that I'm not sure that you wouldn't just get tons of copium if that were the case. Like, here's the reason GTA is doing well and why it would be doing better if it weren't for the chuds.
Oh, here we go. All right, move on. Go ahead, bro.
Just a quick comment to make. Tony, if for your sake, let's hope that God of War Lefay is good, because it is coming out on your birthday.
Oh, boy.
And hopefully you don't have the bad luck I had when High Guard came out on mines this year, because that game was garbage.
Oh, so, man.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, differences. Go ahead, bro.
I want a fucking boat they missed on this one. Like, they decided to desecrate, just confuse and irritate all of the God of War fans. God of Lore was right there. God of Lore for all the side story back characters. God of Lore, for Christ's sake.
Yeah, they don't think that well, man. All right, moving on here. Mob hits in the building. This one's a fun one. Do you guys think that the Coalition with a C, do you guys think that the Coalition has done a better job with the Gears games than 343 has done with the Halo franchise? Spicy. You're muted.
I think a Manny. Teenage Mother has done a better job than 343 has done with the Halo franchise.
I mean,
shout out to Mop Hits, but
oh come on.
It's not even close.
Yeah.
It's definitely a Coalition with a C.
Coalition.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. That's a very easy question to answer. Yes, the Coalition has done a better job. I did get a chance to play the multiplayer beta for Gears E-Day, and that was reminded me of how fun the original Gears of War multiplayer was. So I haven't seen anybody talking bad about this online. So, but yeah, they've done a good job. They've done a very good job. I look forward to seeing how the rest of the game pans out.
Yeah. So this one's a pretty one easy to answer, right? The Coalition.
There you go. Coalition.
I don't mean the shitty. Is this a rage bait question? Because I only ask this because, like, is anybody, like, is this actually debatable to anybody, or are you just like throwing a bomb in here. Because fine if you're throwing a bomb, but like if you're telling me, looking at the landscape, that people are looking at this latest Halo release and E-Day, and you know it's just up in the air, then I'm wondering how.
Yeah, I think the question is just for fun, because it is funny. He's gotten us a lot to laugh.
I mean, yeah, absolutely. Just please tell me that nobody is actually thinking these things are competing.
No, I don't think anyone was, and I've never seen a single conversation like this. All right,
well trolled.
Yes. All right. Next up, this one might be a troll. Does Marvel TOCON have the potential to replace Street Fighter on competition events? Absolutely not. Nothing has been able to. Even when Street Fighter games were bad, they were still beating out all the other games in competition. So, nope, not going to happen. Street Fighter is the de facto fighting game at these tournaments. So, maybe at Frosty Faustings, because that one's more, Arc System Works focused. Maybe, but I highly doubt that too. You know, so this is another easy question. You know, go ahead, bro.
Yeah, let me ask an outsider, Tony. Like,
yeah,
why? Because there are games that are arguably better programmed or tighter for like competitive purposes. Is it just that Street Fighter is a fan favorite? Is it just that it's a classic? Like, why is that not ever going to be dethroned?
Yeah, those are two things. So basically, it comes down to legacy, right? The entire like competitive scene as we know it today was built by Street Fighter. That legacy runs deep, right? And again, even when Street Fighter games were bad, Street Fighter 3, Street Fighter 5, it was still the dominant game. So that legacy is very strong. It's going to be very difficult for anybody to dethrone it. So that's basically it. It's legacy, and literally Street Fighter built this shit, you know?
I built it!
Yeah, go ahead, Carlos. What are you going to ask?
What? And I'm not too into the fighting game scene or competitive fighting game scene, so my question is, wasn't there a time, because it seemed like to me, where Marvel versus Capcom was at least at the same tier at some point with
That was when there were no new Street Fighters, but Street Fighter was still the dominant game. But you're right, Marvel's Capcom 2 specifically, you know, during the, you know, the big Justin Wong days and shit, like it was very, very close. With Street Fighter 3 days and stuff, but even Street Fighter 3 was still the game, you know, which is crazy. Go ahead.
It was up there because it contained Street Fighter?
No, I didn't say that. I said it was up there. It was up there.
Well, no. Yeah. I know you didn't say it, but I'm like, oh, wait a minute. So, like, Marvel versus Capcom, like, Marvel was relevant because it contained Capcom? Is Street Fighter so potent that even when you cut it, it's still Street Fighter?
I mean, yeah. I mean, and Brett, I'm really glad you asked that, because to a larger extent, Capcom dominates the scene. Like, it really built everything, you know? Evo specifically, but to your credit, Carlos, to your credit, Marvel's Capcom built Evo, you know? But before that, you know, the 90s and shit, where it's just dudes playing, that was Street Fighter, you know? And then obviously when Street Fighter 4 came out, that was a wrap. Street Fighter was just at the top the entire time, you know? But Brett, to your point, yeah, even the Marvel game had Street Fighter characters in it. So there you go.
I kind of feel like that's the reason I don't know, if it would have just been Marvel, I don't know if it would have been so prevalent, to be really honest.
Yeah.
I think it got in there, but like, oh, well, you know, if Ryu's in there, like they balanced Cyclops off Ryu, so it's probably fine.
Yeah. Ironically enough, the Street Fighter characters are always the weakest ones in those Marvel's Capcom games compared to the X-Men and shit, you know? But yeah, you're right about that. That's a great point.
I mean, I fucking hope so. If you're talking about a guy whose eyes go into the force dimension versus a guy who beat up a Honda, it's, come on.
Yeah, no, you're right. Well, think about it like this, just to prove the point. They had to level up the Street Fighter character just to match the X-Men.
Yes. Ryu doesn't just throw a normal little Hadouken. He throws a massive, like, body size Hadouken out, right?
Yeah, it's a fucking optic blast, just blue. You know? It's fun stuff, man. All right, Mr. Matt Wheaton with a couple questions. This one's an interesting one. Do you guys know how to make physical PC games? I ask because I've come across some YouTube videos on the topic, which really just proves that PC is inherently supreme within gaming.
I mean, you just
burn them on a disc, right? That's how you do it.
If you have a disc burner, yeah. That's all you really need to do. At least that's the way, you know, the folks on GOG are like, yeah, if you just download, you know, you buy the game, you download it, you can back it up and throw it onto a disc. And I'm sure a lot of those guys have a thing that has an auto executable or something like that to put on there. Yeah.
Yep. You can also make your own carts too, which is the thing I'm super fucking excited about, because this have a read speed, but an SSD cartridge, you can get like a kind of an SSD for like 12, 15 bucks. And granted, that's an upcharge, but I just fucking miss cartridges, man. Like I miss that speed. I miss the accessibility. You just throw the EXE on there with a launch program and you're fucking golden. It's great.
So yeah,
Steam is still digital. Like it's not the fucking same, man.
Yeah, Steam has a lot more protections for even though you're still getting a license, you still can do a bunch of things. You can do an easy return, you know, get your money back on like the PlayStation. There's a whole bunch of you can actually gift games with Steam. You can't do that on PlayStation. You could even do that on Xbox. Like if you look, and you know, obviously a lot of people are just more the way the PlayStation, but I feel like even Xbox protects you a lot more than fucking.
Oh, dude, even like, and I had forgotten about this until fairly recently. Like, Steam is a family plan. Like, every game you buy, you can share just for free with seven people.
Yeah, so it's like there's even like there's all kinds of things that are in the background there that should be legitimately be there for PlayStation, supposedly the top dog, you know, or second dog compared to Nintendo.
Hmm.
But like, you notice that like there's. I think a lot of this transition, you know, between physical and all wouldn't be as awful as it is if two things happen. If PlayStation cool is really good about, you know, protecting people's purchase, you know, whatever license or whatever the fuck they want to call it, you know, being able to do it. And then also like, you know, their legacy, right? You do, you purchase a bunch of games from the past on your PlayStation getting closed down, PSP games, Vita games, all these titles that are all, right? And there is no real protection for any of that. They could just move it in and you can't get it ever again. Fucked up.
Yeah. So is it? Go ahead.
But we go back to the question. Yes, you can do that if you want. You can make you can essentially burn a version of your game that you've purchased, put them on there. It's sort of like, I don't know, like a videotape. Record it. You can record a movie off of TV and then you have.
Yep.
Sort of like that.
Brian, any insights you could share on this, Mr. Manjoma?
Yes. Yep. Yeah, just do what Brett said. Buy games on GOG, buy whatever medium you want, and then just transfer it on that. It is literally that simple. I can attest to this. There was a time me and the boys wanted to play on Real Tournament over LAN. So, again, we're just going through different shops, and then we seen GOG. It was, $3? $4? Again, on Real Tournament 1. So back 2000 and something? 2001, 2002?
They wrote the old magic.
Yeah, that was when the game came out. Like, we were playing it in 2018, 2019. Anyway, we just borrowed it from GOG, put it on a USB stick, literally just copied the whole folder that downloaded, put it on a USB stick, and then everyone else just copied that and then just ran the executable, and that's it. It just worked. I mean, to quote the short man himself, it just works.
The long habit.
Yeah.
So yeah, you can just do that, and that's why I think GOG is how things should be. But obviously, companies gonna company, and fuck with your shit. But yeah, I do agree that again, as Manny said, that is one like those two are two of the problems that Sony have, and I think the other one that really did its ugly head is I think it was with the movies that they just removed from people's drives that they can just do. And I was like, okay, if they can just remove stuff that you bought without you getting anything back in return, that is the most unfair deal I've heard in a long time. So I think that also soured things. But yeah, just buy GOG. Simple. Fun fact, Epic Game Store does not have is it family sharing and gifting yet? Somehow Tim Sweeney and the guys haven't figured out how that works.
All right, man. That's a fun question. I believe the next one may be similar. Yeah, we'll see. All right. I guess a hypothetical. If, for example, we enter an all digital dystopia, will there still be people who fight back against this bullshit via piracy, or is the government going to step in and crack down on video game emulation sites and ultimately criminalize video gaming piracy for good?
That's like the question of like of software, right?
Yeah,
it's like, how are you like would they adamantly protect something that they don't actively have a video?
The thing is, like, it's already
Nintendo does it.
Yeah, here's the thing, does it? It's already illegal. It's just like, are they going to like actually enforce it? I don't know.
I don't know how. Like, the thing is, like, it depends on like the enforcement. Usually happens when it's the main, when it's like the company putting shining a light on it. Like, you know, when Nintendo does their little, you know, they're cleaning out the cleansing, right? And all of a sudden they start cracking down on all of the different, you know, sites and stuff, like sending people to jail. It's like, okay, for the last, you know, X amount of years, this wasn't a problem. All of a sudden now it is. Yeah, it's because it's a problem, because they apparently they wanted to start selling that game and they don't want those guys in the way. As long as it doesn't match any of that sort of stuff, they just leave that shit, becomes a problem. In fact, in one case, Nintendo literally just took the ROMs off of those guys' sites, and literally the stuff that they had, the code literally has the stuff that they put in there.
Yep.
So they robbed them.
It's hilarious.
And then put it on their fucking network.
Yeah, they probably justified it. It's our game anyway.
Yeah, it's our game anyway.
Thanks, it's crazy.
Thanks, hacker man.
Yeah.
Going to jail.
What about the rest of you guys? What do you say? I don't really have an opinion on this. I'm like, again, too speculative. I don't know.
I'm just curious, like, if I don't know, sailed the high seas and happened to find backups for games that I had bought and had physical copies for them, say, in case it were ever taken away from me, then should a cable company or ISP or somebody send me a cease and desist letter, I should in theory be able to return, oh no, I have a license for this. I didn't actually, because it's not stealing, right? It's copyright infringement, but it's not copyright infringement because I have already paid for and acquired a license for this. So I have a license. It's the getting access to the thing, that's not the illegal part. It's the me consuming the thing if I don't have a license, but I do have a license. And now we get into the weeds of, well, how is your ISP going to tell what you have a license for and what you don't? And that's a fucking them problem. And I think at that point we have ourselves a nice little kind of shelter to hide in. So, to a certain, like, go ahead.
It's sort of definitely like a weird gray area. Like obviously this, those, you know, like, hey, you know, hey, I, you know, what if I own the game? And I did a backup of it. Theoretically, I still own it. You know, I still have it. So it's a weird one, you know?
Well, I think what's really interesting to me, I'm going to be careful how I say this. What's really interesting to me is, if you would do that, the people who might or might not be looking in on you would have no way to tell what you're just backing up for licenses that you legally own, and what you would, say, be finding falling off the back of a truck, which would make it difficult, almost impossible, and definitely not financially reasonable to be able to keep tabs on all of that stuff, which is definitely going to muddy the waters, meaning that the, you know, surveillance tactics are going to be more expensive and less useful. So just throwing it out there, thinking out loud, you know what I mean?
Good stuff. All right. Anybody else want to jump in on that?
I hear there's a sale on eye patches and pirate hats.
And black flags.
And black flags.
It's funny. Oh, by the way, he'll add a little add on here. I don't mean to make the questions depressing, but these are questions we have to ask if we're ever going to survive an all digital future, if it happens. Listen, man, there's no controversial questions around here, unless they actually are controversial questions.
Yeah, that'll get us in trouble. I don't see that as a
these questions are not going to get us in trouble. We're fine. You know, if you ask us some culture war shit, then we'd be like, all right, we may want to step away from this. You know,
I don't see that as a controversial question.
Not.
It's a legitimate question, especially if you're somebody that, you know, again, like, there's so many people that this sort of this thing affects, right? In 2 years, they're not going to be making physical.
Yeah,
that's
Don't feel bad, because Sony has heard your tweets and your responses and how angry you are about the loss of physical media, and they are confident that this is not going to affect their bottom line, despite there being a lot of nostalgia and a lot of emotion tied to this brand of media, they're confident it's not going to affect their bottom line. Which, what I hear when they say that is they're confident that piracy is not going to take a big enough portion of their sales for them to actually worry about it. So it's cool. They don't care. It's fine.
Yeah. By the way, that response was literally their version of hear you.
Mm-hmm. So
yep.
Go ahead, Rich.
So are they confident or are they cautiously confident?
Yes. Yeah, that statement was ridiculous. It's like, hey, we hear you, but fuck you guys.
Yeah, well, fuck you guys. It's like, yeah, it's, you know, again, it's for the investors. It's like, okay, guys, we know you're hearing that there's a lot of stuff going on with the consumers. Don't worry about them. You're still going to be making good money.
Yeah.
That's what they're saying.
Yeah.
We have cordially invited them to fuck themselves.
Yeah. By the way, since we're talking about that, there has been a lot of copium, you know, about that statement. Some people are saying, oh, she didn't say they're going to stop. She says, we're listening, you know, intently. Like, okay, that gives you an in, really?
No.
You know, come on, guys. Like, stop with the cope.
There's a lot of people that say, yes, they're listening. Yeah, but listening doesn't mean you're actually hearing it. It could just be going one ear and out the other. They're like, okay, we know there's something happening. It's like hearing, like, you know, a fight going on down the street. Yeah, you know there's a fight happening down the street. You hear it, but you ain't going to get involved with that shit. So that's it.
At a certain point, not admitting saying you don't hear like a train whistle in your ear is just admitting incompetence. They're like, oh, no, we hear it. We're choosing to ignore it.
Yeah. It's just like, from, again, The Simpsons. Willie hears you. Willie don't care. That's pretty much it. Oh, man. All right. But yeah, no, good questions, bro. Good questions. We're really glad you asked them. They're not depressing. They're good questions.
What do you do next?
That's the thing. All right. Next question. Oh, Eurocar in the building. Excuse me.
Oh, I know that guy.
Yeah, he's a good guy. This one's interesting. What are your thoughts on ShiftUp's use of generative AI to generate Stellar Blade content? Is this a sign of things to come for the new game? All right. So, I want to go first if it's okay. Okay. Yeah, sure. So, for those who don't know, ShiftUp posted an AI generated video of the new girl Evie, you know, doing a little fucking music video. Right now, here's the thing: I want you people to understand, and I want to preface it. This is not me making an excuse. This is just laying it out how it is. Because a lot of people are asking, why would they even do that? You have to understand that generative AI is not stigmatized in Asia, not the way it is here, right? So to them, they probably saw this was no problem whatsoever. That's why they did it. My thing is, remember I said Stellar Blade, we saw that fucking trailer look great. I now question that fucking trailer, you know? So that's my problem. Like, how much of that was AI? Because ShiftUp made a follow-up statement saying this was still mostly in-engine with some AI touch-ups. If you see that video, man, the girl's face isn't on model half the time. Like,
stuff is changing around.
Yeah, so it's a tough thing. It's a tough thing. It's like, obviously, everybody here in the West is saying this is fucking bullshit. But in the East, they're like, this is great. This is cool, you know? But where are you going to say, Manny?
No, I was going to say the first part of it is like, yeah, I don't think, you know, like AI usage in Asia, a lot of it, I'd like to get what the perspective is on that. Where is it a situation where, okay, like they're saying to themselves, like, hey, listen, I got the thing I want. It doesn't matter how they
create it. I think that's what it is. Yeah.
I think that's a very sort of productized version of seeing things. Or in other words, it's like, I don't care about how they manufacture this thing. I'm just glad that I just want the thing. It doesn't matter. The people, whoever makes it, who gives a shit?
Yeah.
I think that, and it may have to do with that sort of dealing where, like, in the West, we're much more visualized who made something, who are the people that did it, stuff like that. For ShiftUp, you know, I want to say for this isn't actually the first time AI, you know, Kim Hyung, the director, look at his Twitter, he's always posting some sort of AI. And if you don't remember, the game Magna Carta, that guy was the designer. Like, he designed all the characters, all the stuff like that. He actually has talent. So disappointing for me, the disappointing part of this is, like, you have people that you have this talent, have amazing talent. You yourself have talent. Why do you need this crutch? Like, why couldn't you just make a whole video, a CG video with your character?
Yeah.
And then that's the thing. Now we're seeing this. It's like, it makes you question as to what in their video, in their supposed gameplay footage is even fucking real.
Yeah.
Could we just be seeing like a bunch of like a bunch of boxes, and then all of a sudden, you know, they threw like the NVIDIA DLSS 5 glaze over it.
Yeah.
And then it just makes it look the way it's,
yeah.
I don't know.
You got to remember, when that initial trailer came out, there were questions about some of the Chinese lettering. So, like, these kind of look funky. They're like, they make no sense, which led to the AI claim. So, yeah, but that's what I think it is. Over there, it's not stigmatized. So that's probably why they're like, it's cool to use this. And to your point, Manny, that's probably why he posts AI stuff all the time. It's not stigmatized over there the way it is here.
I just think he thinks it's a cool little parlor trick. It's like, hey, look, I made this. No, you didn't. You didn't make that. You know?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a weird sort of thing. And I'd like to understand the catharsis behind it. And then, yeah, then you see a lot. Like, I follow a lot of artists from Asia all over the world, and the minute that any of those guys just start like posting anything AI related, see all the Western dog pile on the guy on them, and then you'll see like maybe one or two guys, you know, from their country saying, I don't know about this, I like when you draw things.
Yeah also, what about
probably ahead, because bro. Probably because they don't see the rising electricity costs and deteriorating water supply on their end as much as we are.
Brown water and high electric bills.
Brown water. Yeah. You guys remind me of Simpsons again. Remember the Simpsons mantra for Springfield for water? If it's brown, drink it down. If it's black, send it back. But yeah, Carlos, what are your thoughts? By the way, I should have gone to you first for no specific reason.
Yeah, I don't. To me, it kind of raises a flag where it's like, it kind of, you know, people use AI a lot for different reasons. But, you know, when it comes to art, there's a stigma, a particular stigma for that. And there was inklings about, you know, the Stellar Blade and that release about using AI. So I wouldn't be surprised if the new one has a lot of AI aspects to it. I don't think they have the benefit of the doubt now.
Yeah, no, they
releasing
don't.
Because like you're talking about, Tony, like it's kind of tone deaf to release it to a Western audience. That video, it's like, imagine Kojima doing this.
Oh shit!
Like with Death Stranding,
it kind of did happen.
Where
he had that video with Nicholas Winding Refn, was for a Prada.
That's right.
People
came
down. People gave him more shit than they gave Nicholas Winding Refn, the director of a Neon Demon.
Yeah, probably because they don't know who the fuck that guy is. They know who Kojima is.
You know, people do know who he is. He's done a lot of films.
I've never heard of him.
But, you know, the thing about it is, it's like, it was that guy's thing that Kojima was in.
Yeah, but Kojima's the bigger star. Let's just be honest.
Kojima got, you know, at least on the gaming side, Kojima got all the brunt of it.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. I didn't even know about that.
Yeah, crazy. It was a big deal. Yeah, but again, it's not stigmatizer to Kojima's probably like, all right, you know.
No, I think in general Kojima has a very sort of level way of thinking of it.
Yeah, he does.
If you looked at the article that Gene Park did with him, he's like, yeah, that's AI stuff is not a thing that I'm really interested in. I'd much rather have people and artisans doing.
But he's also not against it either. He's not hostile against it.
Yeah, I don't think he's nearly as hostile against it as Guillermo del Toro to AI.
Oh,
no. Or you literally find him, like literally saying fuck this shit, all that sort of stuff.
Again, but, Westerner.
But yeah, like, you know, I think for him it's just like, I think he just wants to keep it at its system. Well, he'll do things the way he wants. And I'm sure he didn't tell Nicholas Winding Refn, you know, like, hey, you can't do this.
Yeah.
I think just AI has a very strong negative connotation in the West, just because we're, you know, at the forefront of everything. But also at the forefront of all of the negative aspects of it as well, more so than other places, Korea and Japan. So
or China
probably, yeah. So it's interesting. I wonder how the reception for the new Stellar Blade is going to be, because I'm pretty sure let's be real here. This game's gonna have some AI in it.
Yeah,
in some it's,
it is.
Like, you know it's gonna have it. So whenever people find this out, and they will find this out, I wonder how that'll affect the prospects of this studio in the future. Because currently, yeah.
No, I was gonna say, like, you know, we will know there's AI in it, because if they want to sell on Steam, they have to mark it down that they used AI in the game.
Yeah, they gotta disclose it. That's right.
Ooh. They have to disclose it.
Can't hide that shit.
Disclosure day.
Yeah, right. Go ahead, Brett.
You guys are laying a lot of ethics at the feet of a group that have historically let some of the most predatory practices become widespread. I'm not really sure if the, you know, let's all lock arms against the intrusion of AI is really going to do well for a group of people that let gambling get into children's games becoming mainstream. Like, it's I don't know. That just seems like it's a great theory. And, you know, I'd love that to be the world we live in. But what makes you guys think that's actually the case?
Yeah, I don't think anyone has made that. We didn't make that proclamation here, by the way. We already said that it's going to be AI in this fucking game, whether you like it or not. You know?
Yeah, it's the thing about it is, the question becomes, will people let them get away?
We'll see.
Oh yeah, absolutely. 100%.
Yeah.
Look at the history.
Okay. By the way, before we go further, what do you mean by history and what do you mean country? Because we're specifically talking about, you know, we are saying Asia, but this country's, you know, South Korea specifically.
Okay. They're going to be fine with it. We're the ones pearl clutching, and our pearl clutching isn't going to amount to fucking shit.
Yeah. They're going to do what they're going to do. I agree with that.
So, like, it's just virtue signaling for, like, being like, hey, look at me. I'm more against AI than the next guy. Like, we get it. You're great. You're a fine, upstanding revolutionary. Let's fucking move on. Honestly, this just feels like a bunch of needless virtue signaling for no real actual change in the face of fucking physical games being taken away and much more important shit. So
maybe I'm just not understanding.
But you're just confirming what we're talking about. There is going to be a lot of discussion.
Yeah, you That's are. The whole yeah. Point. And also, Brett, tying those two things together, just like with physical games, you don't like what they're doing, don't buy it. If you don't like AI in the game, don't buy it. Steam will tell you, you know, that's all you can do, you know, vote with your wallet.
I mean, AI is one of those things where, like, and it's not even like I'm just, you know, super cynical. It is that I'm super cynical, but also I don't care as much about AI, but I don't see the larger community, the larger industry caring as much about it. Like, people at the top are going to push it. Creatives who are going to find a way for them to save time are going to push it. People who don't like it are going to ostracize it. And it's just going to be a thing that slowly pushes its way in no matter. Like, it's either going, like, the results are going to speak for themselves, right? Like, if we have to rely on the AI tag to be able to tell that it's in there, then people are going to fucking use it. If people can find a way to opt out, pass laws that restrict copyrights on this kind of thing and stop it from scraping the internet for training data, then humans can stay ahead of the curve and we'll make the better product. But, like, you can't artificially throttle in the marketplace. You have to, like, stop it from getting better than people by building off the backs of people, or at least find a way to compensate the people whose art is being fucking scraped. Like, I've said, but one of my more controversial ideas is, like, I'm not entirely against an artist at the end of their life selling their catalog to a training data. Like, it should be a shitload of money, like a metric fuck ton, like generational wealth. But, like, yeah, like, if you still had, you know, something pumping out Walt Disney, but the money for all of that Walt Disney style stuff went to his heirs, like, I would feel less bad about it. Is it still creepy and fucking dystopian? Absolutely. But we're not going to get anywhere by just sitting there and being like, I'm not going to buy any games that don't have AI in it. Like, cool. That has less chance of taking off than the, you know, fighting Sony on the physical games. And it's not like you can go to a Steam and just hide in non-AI games. Like, it's an industry-wide thing and it's going to move forward. So I think we're asking the wrong questions in terms of AI, but mostly it's just cynicism. Like, yeah, I don't see people doing shit. I don't see people having that. Like, are you really going to not play the next Nier Automata because it has AI in it?
Yeah, people are really going to have to ask themselves some tough questions for sure.
Well, people played Nier Replicant less than they did Automata. Who knows? The whole thing with AI is, like,
it really depends on the outcome of the game. AI, right, Carlos? Is that what you're getting at?
No. I'm just saying, like, if there's no correlation, because if the next Nier game comes out, it's not guaranteed to sell more or less, regardless of whether it has AI or not.
Okay, that's true.
That's my point, though.
Yeah. No, like you said, we have to see.
But the thing with because you asked the questions like, aren't people are not going to play the next Nier Automata game if it has AI? I'm like, well, we don't know if they'll play it regardless.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Touché. Okay, I see what you're putting out there.
But the whole thing with AI, it just really depends on how it's used, because it could there's a high possibility that AI could generate a good outcome for a game or a terrible outcome. We don't know that. And that part is the part that's going to make people either buy or not buy the game. Similar to how, you know, when with Tony, like he doesn't like 3D animation for like Spider-Man or like with anime sometimes. For him, he's not going to watch that stuff anymore. He previously used to. So it's like there could be an aspect of AI that turns people off that might just, you know, turn off the faucet for some folks to buy it. It might not even be related to just like, oh, it's the broader AI. It's just an aspect of it that turns some folks off. And that's what we have to see in the future. Affects anything.
Here's how you know it's bad with this shift up situation. There's like a huge like shift up account, like fan account. Like they have like a crazy amount of follows and or anything they do, they always say stuff. Even they are saying they're really mad at this. Like you would think that the rose colored glasses would also affect this, but no, even they are like, this is shit.
Mad because it's AI or mad because it's garbage?
Because probably because it's both. I mean, if it's AI, it's kind of, in my opinion, automatically garbage. So that's kind of the same question. But yeah, it's like the AI stuff they're very much against, you know?
Okay, yeah, so let me ask you this.
Yeah.
And repeat the question a bit. The term AI slop, which I know you guys don't throw around, but like
I do.
Is that
I throw that shit out liberally.
Okay. Is the problem that it's AI or the problem that it's slop? I'm genuinely asking to understand the situation better.
Both.
Okay.
Yeah, that's my one. But yeah, for this question, the main thing I want to impart on the listeners is if you see Asian developers doing this stuff, understand that it's not stigmatized there. You know, that's the kind of, because like you said, Brett, you're not, it's been documented. Like it is not as stigmatized there as it is here. Yeah. You even said it Asian artist posts something, it's the Westerners going at their ass.
I'm saying you said not stigmatized and you say not as stigmatized things.
Yeah. It was probably misspeaking. It's not as because there's some people that obviously are going to stigmatize it. No, because people are like, why would they do this? Why are they so tone deaf? They're not tone deaf. To them, it's fine, you know, like it's perfectly fine doing that stuff. But to your point, Brett, this shit's going to keep seeping in. You know, we already, you know, to use another analogy, the horse armor is already existing. It's going to keep going from here and you can't stop it, you know. So vote with your wallets, people, you know. I'm not telling you what to do or not to do. Do what you feel is best for yourself. I'm not going to tell you what to do. You know, that's your fucking money, not mine.
Yeah. Then the part that I agree with Brett is, eventually, everything gets normal.
Yeah.
So AI, we're gonna get to a point where it's not.
Man, he's like, fuck that. Man, he's like, fuck that.
Wait till you die, man. Ah.
You don't take away my disc and don't put no AI in them.
Here's the thing. Like you know, we're talking about the discs and this stuff. It's like it's almost like you have to just wait it out. You know, they want to do something. They're going to find some stupid way to do it. They just need to wait to play the long game and then just start pulling shit away from you.
Yeah.
This is the landscape.
Like the toll guys in the booths, you know, in the subway. Wait them out. Let them all retire.
Yeah. Well, they, you know, years ago, for you those who don't know, like I always use that as the analogy. Where I was like, you know, the unions were saying no. They were saying, oh, we want to get toll. We're toll people to get, you know, save money, yada, yada, yada. And then obviously they had a big old kerfuffle. Everybody went on strike. So all they did was they just waited. They let them have their shit. And then now you have no toll. You have no toll work because, well, lo and behold, all those old toll workers and all those old MTA employees have all retired.
Yeah.
And they just didn't hire more.
Wait them out. All right. Good question there. All right. It's moving on to Mr. Cuban Boss. Got a couple questions here.
Cuba.
Will servers crash when GTA 6 releases and everyone is trying to download it at the same time? Or do you think for such a thing, for such a big release, they might prepare for a bit. You're going to see some outages. Like when everybody's hitting up PlayStation trying to download that fucking game, it's going to happen. It always happens, no matter what, you know? So it'll be interesting. I expect it to happen.
There's your physical. If you had a physical game, you wouldn't have no servers to download, would you? You just need to just put your game inside your console, then it'll run, right?
Yes, and to your point, yeah, the only way you can play this game is to download it. So there will be server crashes, absolutely, especially on day one. You know, hope you guys enjoy it. Have fun. This is the future you wanted. I don't think there's anything more to say. The servers are going to crash. It absolutely will. Go ahead, bro.
Especially PlayStation's one, because their shit is put together with duct tape and spit. Anything fucking crashes the PlayStation network. You could fart on it and it'll go down.
Yes. Yeah. Go ahead, Rich.
Oh, I just was going to say, for those that are concerned about that, as soon as you get the information to preload, start now. Do not wait until launch day.
Yes. Very smart advice. Those servers will be crying that day. Absolutely. All right, that's an easy one. Another one for Mr. Cuban Boss. Is anyone on the panel going to try Mortal Shell 2 beta since progress carries over? It's available on everything but Switch 2 and is about 3 hours of the campaign. I never played the first one. I have no interest in the second one. I don't know about the rest of you guys, though.
I talked about it, you know, a while ago, like when original Mortal Shell came out. I mean, it's if you're into those sort of souls, like it's a very good one. I mean, and they also give you incentive to play the demo. I notice you guys are noticing there are a lot of games having demos. Are there? You know, yeah. Like, you know, what fucking Pragmata had one. There's a bunch of other ones that have demos on. So a lot of the little demos, especially from Capcom.
They do that.
Yeah, most of their big titles this year have demos. I don't think Resident Evil has one, but you know, Onimusha, the Monster Hunter game, the RPG that came out, the friggin'
I thought Nevada Resident Evil did one. Have a demo.
Did they have a demo? I can't remember. I didn't know anything about. So all of their major releases this year have demos, and there's also a bunch of other companies that have been putting out demos for their games as well. So that's actually really cool that they have like a demo that also gives you, you know, that pretty much lets you play the beginning of the game and then you where you left off from when you play the final. Yeah. Pretty cool. I'm probably not going to Mortal Shell, but it's one of those games that I respect because I feel like it's, at least from what I've seen, it looks like it's a pretty decent contender compared to a lot of the others.
Yeah. What about
and they got a sequel, so people must like it.
Yeah. Anybody here interested in Mortal Shell?
Yes, I will be checking it out. We actually know somebody who on that PR team that is handling this game. A very, very good friend behind the scenes. But I heard about the beta. I didn't know. I'm glad that they did do that because they are aware that there are a couple of games coming out in August, starting with a game coming out in a couple of days. So they definitely want people to remember, oh yeah, this game is launching on like August 20th. So, but yeah, I do plan to check it out. I probably will be getting my ass whooped, but I will happily talk about my experience on a future show.
Nice. All right. Anybody else? Doesn't seem like it, you know, but yeah, there you go. All right. Moving on here. Jam X. Yeah, I'm just going to call you Jam X. I'm not going to read the rest of it. On the last show, you guys spoke about the Game Boy. That was a fun segment, by the way. I remember my older brother back in the day had the first model Game Boy. I remember he used to put batteries in the freezer. Can you guys give us younglings an explanation why he did that? Remember that shit, bro? Putting them fucking batteries in the freezer, you know?
it gets the electrons going.
Yeah, man. You know, get a little bit more juice out of them, you know? But yeah. Apparently, that actually is a myth. That doesn't work at all, you know? But you know, in our minds, it did back in the day. Like, oh, I got to play 10 more minutes. You know, it's probably just because they're still charging them, you know?
Yeah, back in the day, like, I don't know how old this gentleman is, but back in the day, especially in the 90s and before that, we didn't have internet. Most of us didn't. So we couldn't confirm anything and everything was mythology.
Yep.
You know, we made our own headcanon to life where it's like, oh, like, you know, Marilyn Manson chopped off his side so he can do something.
That's right.
Like, we just made stuff up because we didn't have the facts. We made up our own realities. We built our own headcanon. So yeah, the batteries thing definitely was something where it's like, you know, someone said, oh, you know, the battery gets more charged when the freeze, and people just ran with it.
Yep. I certainly did that shit, you know?
Yeah, what do they call it? An old wives' tale.
Yeah.
One of those things. You know, I'm sure your mom did it. My mom did it.
Yep.
Just always went to the bed. Here's the thing. I'm wondering if it's something that's also left over from older batteries, because older batteries used to be a lot more volatile than the ones that we currently have.
Yeah.
Like, my mom said that, you know, back in the day, batteries used to have fucking, what do they call it, a cardboard on. You peel it off.
Oh, shit. Yeah, it could be, yeah. Because, obviously, I'm talking about batteries, like, you know, doing the shit, you know, during the late 80s, early 90s, you know. And it's, again, it seemed to work, you know. But like you said, man, those older batteries are more volatile, so... Maybe that was true, but I know for newer batteries, obviously,
was a thing. That thing that was true, because remember, like, we're only repeating what our parents did. Right?
Yep.
They said that, oh, hey, you know, it'll keep the batteries fresh if inside of the fridge. Maybe back in the day, that was something you actually needed to do. I don't know any of that thing.
Yeah, but that's where it came from, Jam. You know, kind of interesting. All right, and then another one. Last year I purchased the GBA SP color I always wanted. I realized there's a whole market of homebrew reproduction GBA cartridges that work right out of the box. I was even able to get a reproduction copy of Book Tie for half the price scalpers wanted, and it had the sunlight feature working. How is this possible to do for the GBA games but not for other handhelds? Go ahead, Manny.
Oh, well, I was going to say a little Kojima stuff there. Boktai or Lunar Nights is the game that that Kojima made, where you have to be playing in the sun in order the game to in order for it to be effective to kill the vampires.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's why I laughed about it. But like, so you're saying, what was the question? So like, why is this still capable of doing this? So like, what to make repro comp?
No, well, the main question is, why is that possible for GBAs but not other handhelds? Do we know the other handhelds aren't capable of doing this? Like, maybe you can't do it with a PSP because of the UMD or whatever. But to be fair, I don't know shit about homebrew, so I don't know. You know, I didn't even know there was a homebrew for GBA. Not surprised. I know there's a homebrew scene for Nintendo games and Super Nintendo.
Well, I mean, there's a homebrew. Like,
but it's not something I keep up with, you know.
For every single, like, console that has existed, there is a homebrew, like, thing.
There's Dreamcast games that are still being put out homebrew, you know.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's legitimately new Dreamcast games that are being put out as are Sega Genesis games.
It's crazy, man. But yeah, with regards to other handhelds, I don't know enough about this to say whether they are or aren't doing it. I don't know if anybody else on the panel is more privy to this, I don't know.
You know, I mean, like, what, making repros or like, I'm not fully understanding.
Yeah, making reproduction cartridges, homebrew cartridges.
No, I mean, those exist all for all of them.
No, I know, but he's not asking that. He's asking why don't other handhelds have it like Game Boy Advance does?
No, they do.
Yeah.
I mean, great. Yeah. I mean, obviously, you said it before, like, the PSP probably is probably a difficult one. And Vita is probably way too new to be able to repro carts.
Yeah.
But a lot of the old, like, they're making Genesis games. They're making, you know, Super Nintendo games, like new, absolutely new games that run on the old hardware.
Yeah.
It exists.
Yeah. But again, I'm not knowledgeable enough to go deeper than that. So I don't know if anybody else on
the panel. If Adam was here,
we'd be here for another half an hour talking about this.
That's his world right there.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, he's been into that for decades. But yeah, I don't think the rest of us here are as knowledgeable about this stuff. But yeah, good stuff. All right. Ooh, another one of our my favorite listeners, Drunken Demon. All right, first question here. I've purchased a limited edition marathon themed DualSense controller at 50% the price of a normal controller. given the marathon numbers, was just a smart move. I'm going to say it wasn't a smart move. It, like, the controller works. So, you know, I don't think you lost money. And you genuinely have something that's a collector's item. You know, like if they made a Concord fucking controller or something. But for no reason whatsoever. Brian, what do you think about this? My response.
I think that's a fair response. And again, I think that's a good answer. Firstly, I find it just a very weird impulse buy, just again, out of all controllers. But then again, if it's half price, then it's difficult to add to really argue against that, especially these days. So on that aspect, it's a good buy. I'm thinking, is this more of a long-term like purchase slash investment? Because again, I'm assuming that Drunken Demon thinks that Marathon isn't going to last like a full year. So potentially this could be a collector's item, as you said, Tony, in the next 3-4 years, since Marathon will cease to exist by then. So I think it's a good buy overall, but I am more impressed that it's half price of the normal controller, because again, that in itself is a good buy either way.
Yeah, that's my thing. It's like currently it's a good buy because it's half off, controllers are expensive, and for the future it could potentially be a good buy if you could find a sucker to buy the controller off of you for like $200, you know,
that one Marathon fan.
Yeah, and I think I think that's gonna be Reggie. Oh man,
no man, Reggie, you ain't a real Marathon fan. You ain't in the lore, man. You never played the original two Marathon games.
Oh man,
you ain't real. Tell me the plot of that game.
Yeah, he don't know. You know the plot, motherfucker?
I know how it connects to the original Marathon.
That's funny. Oh, by the way, Reggie saw the new Spider-Man movie and he had the Endgame reaction. So yeah,
listen. Did he cry?
Oh yes, oh yes, oh yes. Listen. Oh man, that's funny.
I'm not calling folks out, but me crying at a Spider-Man film? Come on, man.
Yeah, he was feeling it, man. I don't knock it.
No, man. We know a guy who cried on fucking Electra.
Electra.
The second Electra movie.
Oh, actually, it was first Electra movie, but second Daredevil movie. Go ahead, Brett. What's up, bro?
Nah, man. He meant he got thin and snapped to dust.
Yeah, right. I don't feel so good. Miss the stack.
Was the person that cried for the Electra second movie was Evil part of his name?
No, it wasn't.
No,
I wanted it to be part of the lore.
He doesn't cry.
He's pretty emotionless.
Yeah. pretty much. So it was our boy Ralph, you know, who was a character to say the least.
he also may have had a little bit of that sticky icky.
Or by a little, we mean a lot. It was the part with the little girl that got him, you know? She was trying to save girl.
It's like little Electra.
Oh, man.
Make me feel some type of way.
Yeah, I felt some type of way. Oh, man. All right. Another question for Mr. Drunken Demon. This one's funny. What will cost less? All the consoles plus a Steam Deck or the RTX 6090?
Shit.
That 6090 is going to be brutal. How much is the 5090 right now marked up? I'd motherfuckers have to be $4,000 at least, you know? But for no reason whatsoever, Brian, you could answer first while I look this up.
It's 5090s? What? Because the 3090s were around like the 1,000. So I assume that 5090s maybe 2,000, 2,500. I have no idea because I just stopped looking at prices.
Yeah, I believe the 5090 was 2,000 at launch. And right now, Carlos, how much is that shit?
Like 4,600, 4,400. And this is in Amazon. Damn. Yeah, so they're all over 4,000. Damn.
Fuck. Yeah, that's literally.
We have the answer.
Yeah, I think so, Brian. Because think about it, right? Assuming next gen consoles cost $1,000, you could buy four of those motherfuckers for the price of one card.
And a Steam machine.
And a Steam machine. Fuck. We're cooked.
Snickers bar.
We're cooked. This hobby's
technology,
done.
The technology, what I like to call the technology cast is only the rich can can afford to game, right?
It's gonna be it's like everybody that's gonna be a gamer is gonna be like, you know, old school Neo Geo players, you know. Very few of those guys, because they were the only ones who could afford that shit. The rich dudes. Remember that kid we used to know, Robert? He was like the only one, you know? He had all that crazy shit. Atari, Jaguar and everything.
Yep.
But yeah. It's gonna be expensive, people. Get ready. All right, and then the last two questions of the night. Mr. George W. Cush, he actually had three questions. One of them was about, like, you know the games you want to have your kids play. Ain't no fathers around here, man. Chris is out.
The fathers are conspicuously gone.
Yeah, so we're save that for when Chris is on. So we will answer the question, but not tonight because, you know, no, there were no fathers here, you know. Although I don't know about Rich, you know, he may have some baby, you know, he may have like a baby out there that we don't know about, you know.
I'm pretty sure there's some of the thirds running around.
Oh, excuse me? Right? Oh, man. All right. First question here. What move from Xbox, Nintendo, or PlayStation would make you the happiest? For me personally, Nintendo embracing PC or a more powerful console. I have nothing to say concerning their output of games. I think they're doing great. So, yeah, I guess I don't know if you want to tackle each publisher one by one, but yeah, like what could they do to make you happy?
Oh, PlayStation is simple.
Discs, motherfucker, right?
give me my discs. Give me my discs, and continue with my PlayStation 3 purchases onto my PlayStation 5 or whatever PlayStation. That's and also protect my fucking purse. Don't be going deleting my shit or delisting shit and not allowing people to download. It was like 100 and something days, and then your account gets closed down.
Like that, yeah.
That thing, yeah, that too. Get rid of that fucking shit too. You know, some people don't got that time to be hanging out on their goddamn console. You telling me, you know, I'm working my ass off. You know, not logging into my PlayStation for X amount of months, and all of a sudden my account is gone. You
wait, what?
Yeah,
I didn't know this.
You didn't know that?
No.
Yeah, you got to keep logging into your goddamn account in order to keep it alive.
It's like every 3 years you got to keep log in at least once or something like that.
Yes.
Yeah, every 3 years. Okay, yeah. I thought he said 120 days.
No.
I can't remember how many.
I think it's like 120 months or something, you know?
Yes,
every 3 years, basically, or maybe a little longer.
They should get rid of that. It's stupid.
They should.
It's like, you're like some people, people are figuring that out now. Some guys are like, hey, I want to play my PlayStation 3 games. Oh, no, my fucking games don't. He hadn't logged in like, 5 years.
Oh, man.
What if you're in a coma?
Yeah, right? Shit, you wake up, you lose all your fucking games, you know?
So anyway, that stuff. Nintendo, I just wish they weren't just big addicts. You know, like literally really going hardcore, stupid, those guys. That stuff is. And then also they're a shitty, you know, again, like they don't let you purchase over. They literally close that up, interest on there. It's all gone. You can't play it again unless you had it downloaded. Again, same situation. Xbox, anything would be good for fucking Xbox. There's no, like, they've cut so many swish holes into their themselves that it's made them they've literally just, you know, sunk back to square one. And again, like, I'll say the positive things about them, like their saves are amazing. Like, it's better than fucking PlayStation. If you play a game on one thing, like on your Xbox, or it literally pings it automatic, you know, updates the save file so you can jump at things. That's pretty damn cool. There's a bunch of things that I think will but again, like, I think their thing is having something of significance. As Adam would say, they gotta have something. They need something.
Gotta have something.
There you go. I'll paint in a broader brush. And just being flat out, I don't care what Nintendo does. So I'm not gonna count them. For Xbox and PlayStation, what could they do to make me happy? The one thing that they're not gonna do, make more exclusives. Give me two, at least three big exclusives a year, like you used to. Not gonna happen. not gonna happen, but that's what will make me happy, you know. But
did you see the chart that came out recently that showed like all the exclusives of PlayStation coming down?
We've talked about that. We talked about that many times. 13
for PS5.
Yeah.
As opposed to the 50 from last generation, the 50, about 55 or 53. Yeah.
Every generation's gone down. Every generation's gone down. Actually, I think for PS2, it may have gone up and then just down.
Yeah, PS2 went up. Yeah.
But yeah, they're not going to give me that. That's what make me happy. Actual exclusives, good exclusives, not going to happen. You know, because the disc stuff, I personally don't care about disc. That's not a problem for me. I just want fucking games, you know. Not everything is a fucking remake, remaster, you know, all this bullshit. But yeah, I don't know. Again, man, I'm so disenchanted with gaming right now, man. It's fucking bullshit, you know. Everything's just so anti-consumer, you know. It's like, fuck you. We're not making games for you guys. We're making games for investors, you know. Fuck you guys. Fuck you and your stupid hobby. You know, we run this shit now, you know? Anyway.
Isn't that always the thing that happens when things become unbelievably popular?
Yes.
And once you have the like a good portion of the masses involved, things start moving away from what they originally, what the things that made them really good. And then it just becomes about the reputation of that thing. That is just,
they left the suits at the table.
Yeah. You know, I'm going to say something that's controversial. Gaming should have never gone mainstream. Should have stayed underground, you know. But that's just that's just me, you know, wishing something that's not going to happen. The fucking suits run the fucking gaming industry now, you know. Yeah. What about you, Carlos? What would make you happy, man? Not even about consoles, just in life, bro.
Just in life, you know, a couple of raises.
You know?
You know. But if we're talking about video games and we're talking about the big three companies, PlayStation, I'll just piggyback up your answer because that's exactly my answer. Not even exclusives. PlayStation first party exclusive.
Yes.
Their output is so pitiful. I don't know what we haven't gotten a Naughty Dog game this generation. We've gotten no God of War games this generation. Oh, but what about God of War Ragnarok? That's a PlayStation 4 game.
Mm-hmm.
Where Luffy is coming out next year. So we'll see. But that's only one. Who else? I'm pretty sure everyone else has probably released one or less games this generation.
Insomniac's the only one, you know.
Well, Insomniac, Spider-Man 2, was that PS4 also or
not? No, that was not on PS4. That was PS5, yeah.
Yeah, so they did one.
Yeah.
They did one game and then Wolverine comes out.
And also Ratchet and Clank as well.
Yeah, that was also PS5 only.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Yep, yep. Remember when they said Ratchet and Clank was only playable on PS5, but somehow it released on PC?
Yeah, right.
But yeah, if they did the more PlayStation games, gave us a reason to be excited about being the PlayStation gamer instead of just being the default third party console, default console for all third party games, which is what's carrying the whole fucking thing.
Yep.
Also, speaking of graphics, someone, was it Colin Moore? Someone sent me a picture of Colin Moriarty where it says something about, oh, you know, if exclusives matter, then why is Sony, you know, so Sony's making all this money? And I'm like, that shit doesn't impress me because he's like, oh, and the chart says PS5 has done, I think, near triple the amount that PS2 did. And I'm like, motherfucker, PS2 only made games, only made money off of game sales. Now it's all the service. People are just paying PlayStation for being subscribed to PlayStation Network, and they don't even use a thing.
Yeah.
So that's right. Missed me with that revenue. And also, including inflation's gone up like crazy since the PS2.
Yep.
At least three times. So yeah, these numbers do not impress me one ounce. So yeah, just wanted to mention that. Xbox, just go third party. There's really nothing else Xbox. Hopefully this new rebranding, hopefully they got rid of all the middle managers, but I'm pretty sure the next amount of layoffs are going to mention middle managers, and the next one is going to be saying the same. They're still not going to change it, but we'll see. Nintendo, yeah, just stop being assholes. I'm with Manny.
It's funny. All right, Rich, what about, everybody's going to participate in this one. Rich, you're next, man.
Yeah, so you asked the question, what can PlayStation and Xbox do to win back consumer trust?
Yeah, or actually, the question is, what could these companies do, you know, Sony, Microsoft, and Nintendo, to make you happy? This is a personal question.
Okay, that's easy. Well, Nintendo can do nothing because I don't play kiddie games anymore.
Grown man gaming.
Yeah. If they release the certain games I would like to see them release, then I would check it out. I'm not really compelled to get one now, even though I did play some of the Switch 2 when I went to Summer Game Fest. There isn't really too many games on there that I would appeal to, which makes me feel like I need to get one. So I don't know what Nintendo can outside of that. For PlayStation, it's pretty much similar to what you guys said. Where are the first-party titles? I know Carlos was talking about Insomniac. Yes, they, by default, are the hardest-working PlayStation first-party studio this generation. Your boys not at Naughty Dog, they have been very naughty because we haven't seen a new game from these guys the entire generation, except for, you know, making this Last of Us TV show and re-releasing, remakes and, well, not a remake, just remastered, definitive edition, whatever you want to call it. So, yes, I would like to see them go back to some of the IPs that they know people have been asking for. I guess you will never see another SOCOM game. I think Infamous, I would like to see what they would do if there was another Infamous. I need to see Sony putting out more games every year. Like one or two games a year, it doesn't feel like it's enough. And of course, there was the comment about God of War. You know, yes, Ragnarok, also on PlayStation 4. But I did hear that God of War Lefay, that is straight fire. And Tony cannot wait for that game. So listen, let's see what happens. But yes, Sony, it's easy. Release more games and continue to be transparent with with the fans. So all of this stuff, I do believe people should have an option. If they, you know, just if they want to have an option for physical, I just think, Sony sees the feedback. They are cautiously listening to the audience. So let's see what they do. But yes, we'll see where things go. And as for Xbox, my advice to Xbox, stop canceling games, stop closing studios, especially if a game is successful. It's like they've had a couple of games this generation that were successful, but it was not successful enough to save the studio. And that is a very bad look for Microsoft. I can understand why people would say they should just go third party. But yes, I am very curious to see what happens in this current regime with Asha, because clearly, yes, they're getting rid of a lot of the studios. They figure, well, we're not doing nothing with the studio. Let's just get rid of them. All right. So let's see what happens with this strategy. But my advice to them is stop canceling games and also stop showing us games at your showcase, knowing full well we're going to get rid of this studio. Do not do that ever again, because that is a very bad look. But yes, that would be my advice.
Yeah, I agree with that last part. all right, Brian, it's your turn now.
Oh, it's a good question. See, Nintendo is interesting, but I kind of wanted to piggyback off Rich's answer there about kiddie games. Make a adult game, as in like for, okay, not adult, but an older audience targeted game, like a more serious looking game. I know they've tried a few times with, is it Anarchy Reigns?
That was on PS3, Anarchy Reigns.
It was before that.
I know what you're talking about. The black and white one, right?
Yes.
Yeah, yes, I know what you're talking about.
Granted, that was Platinum Games and not them, but that's kind of the idea. Make something serious. With Xbox?
Mad World.
Mad World. Thank you, Manny.
Mad World. Yes, yeah. Thank you, Manny. With Xbox, I'd say have an identity, because I feel like they just don't have anything at the moment. They did in the 360 days, but then they dropped that, and then they just don't have one now. They just kind of exist in this weird space where they just are there. So yeah, have some sort of identity, like whether it's, okay, we're the console for RPGs or we're the console for this, you know, like do something. With PlayStation, just have exclusives. Again, I think that's like the general gist of it. Like, they just need to have actual exclusives. And again, I also seen that chart, and I was just seeing how low it was. It's like, that pretty much sums up how low this generation feels. is just it's just awful to see. Like, okay, maybe one or two games a year that's exclusive. Well, one game a year that's exclusive, if that, and that's it. It's like, come on. And also, this is one that I've been asking for ages. Have varying exclusives, because I'm one who's just sick and tired of the Sony formula of just how every game you can pretty much sum up with the same sentence, and it's practically like 99% of all games on PlayStation, exclusive games on PlayStation, and it frustrates me. I mean, make an RPG, okay, you have a racing game, fine, but make an actual RPG game, and I don't count Horizon as an RPG game. That's no. Like, I will consider the Monster Hunter games and the Division RPGs before I even consider that. Like hell, I will consider Call of Duty an RPG before I consider Horizon an RPG. So yeah, make actual different exclusives rather than the same over-the-shoulder, third-person, action game, adventure. No, like, make a first-person game. You had them at times, but you lost them. You know, I don't know, just be different for a change. Yeah, that's me.
All right. And then, yeah. And then, Brett, what about you? What can each of the three big companies do to make you happy?
Let's see. I'm trying. I can't even think of what I want Nintendo to do. They're not my brand. That's fine. Keep doing what you're doing. People are happy with you. Microsoft, I'd like you to open up to Steam storefront and just commit to basically being another Steam box. And Sony, I'd like you to go fuck yourself.
I knew you were going to say that. Oh, man, that's funny. By the way, I pulled up because I have this shit bookmarked, people. PS1, 454 exclusives. PS2, 514 exclusives. We went up. Here's where things change. PS3, 180 exclusives. PS4, 58 exclusives. PS5, as of this tweet from September 2nd, 2025, and I don't think it's changed that much, 13 exclusives.
13.
Really?
Yes,
and
really.
Think about it. It would have been more than that if they had those, if you added those 12 source games.
Maybe it's 14 now because Sorrows came out. You know, but like, it's fucking, we're barely 20, bro. That's bad, man. All right. And the last question of the night, this one is going to be fun. Which of the big three has suffered the most damage in their long-term reputation after this generation? In my opinion, PlayStation, by completely abandoning their loyal fans and making stupid moves one after another. Xbox is a close second. Now, here's the thing. If you were to ask this question a month ago, answer for me would be fucking simple. Xbox is taking a big L. But you're asking us this question now. And my thing is, yeah, bro. And remember, the question is specifically who has hurt their chances long term, right? I think in the short term, I don't think what PlayStation did is going to hurt them in the short term. Long term, I think it will. However, with Xbox, I think they have a chance of coming back if they do things right, you know, long term. Short term, I don't think any of this shit's going to work for them, but long term, it may, you know? So, yeah, I know this is one of my favorite words, right? By the way, people, recency bias. With something that happened recently, it's PlayStation, man. What a colossal fuck up. I have not, even Xbox has never sustained this level of like hostility from the fans, bro. It's been a month, motherfuckers are still going ham, you know? And I think in the long term, yes, I understand things are going digital, but you could have given people something, man. You could have given them protections. You could have given them, you know, like a fucking like add-on disk drive, something, you know, but they're not saying shit, bro. They came out there and basically said, hear you. That's all they said. Hear you. They don't give a fuck, you know? So yeah, PlayStation, man, for sure. You know, I know some of the fans may not like hearing that, but it's fucking true. PlayStation has royally fucked up. You know, when you got fucking, you know, Kevin Nealon talking about this shit, that's how you know you fucked up, you know? But yeah, what about the rest of you guys? Who has hurt themselves the worst this generation?
That's PlayStation, yeah. Man. They, They've reached that TVTD sports DRM thing. They literally hit it.
Yeah. Brett, I know you have no objections to this shit.
Here's the crazy thing. Could that sort of face plant really affect them as it did so badly with
They don't think it will. They don't. They're like, yo, this shit's not gonna affect us in the long term. They said that. We'll see about that, bro. But what about the rest of you guys, man?
I'll go with the crowd. It is PlayStation. Because the key word is which one's affected the most, who's done the most damage to their brand.
In the long term, Microsoft, you know?
Yeah, and Xbox has already been in the gutters. So it's really hard to go down from where they already were. PlayStation, on the other hand, were, you know, Cloud 9 after the PlayStation 4 generation. So the way they're exiting PlayStation 4 or entering PlayStation 5 and leaving, I think it's definitely PlayStation that's done the most. Because I don't see people as big of a... What is there to be a fan about PlayStation 4 other than the fact that it's what plays all your third-party games? Back then, the loyalty was to the games, to, you know, oh, this is the Gears company, this is the Gran Turismo company, this is the Nathan Drake companies. Like,
yeah.
Those were the type of things that people used to, you know, get behind. Now, those characters or those franchises aren't as prevalent because they hardly release them. And Gears of War, they're releasing a Gears of War game, but it doesn't even have Kratos in it, or it'll barely have Kratos in it. So
a God of War game,
we'll see. Yeah, God of War.
Yeah. Gears of War with Kratos.
Why not combine them?
You'll see. Why not both? Yeah. It's definitely PlayStation.
Yeah, PlayStation fuck it up. Like, I think that's a consensus right there, you know? Well, do I hear a TV or something? Yeah, it's Brett, it's you, bro.
TV ports.
Yeah, it's Brett. Yeah. Brett, do you have anything to add to this?
Nope.
All right. Yeah, I mean, I think we all said it. PlayStation, you fucking up. All right, man. And with that, it is the end of the show, Pete. Another good one. Let's start plugging some stuff. Rich, what's coming up on the Coalition this week?
Yes, so Mr. Adam Vale, Mr. Carlos Romero, and myself, we have been recording episodes of I Am Negan. We posted the second episode of Dead City. It's currently on the website and on the Coalition YouTube channel. So if you are a Walking Dead fan, feel free to check out our discussion. There's going to be a lot more things coming because I've been playing a couple of different games that are going to be coming out soon, of course. So I would just say stay tuned to thecoalition.com as well as the Coalition Gaming because... there's going to be a lot of things getting posted up this month, you know, and there's a lot of stuff dropping periodically. I know we talked about September, October. There's still some stuff coming this month, too. So stay tuned for all that.
There you go. And Manny, what you got?
Dinner date, the Ashcan from Comic-Con. Yes, the book is going to be releasing this October. It's a book, new series written by Joanne Starr, drawn by Kari Randolph, and colored by myself. It's out. Well, I don't know if they have this on their site, but if you were at Comic-Con, you could have got yours. And maybe I'll do a little giveaway. Also, next thing up is the TMNT, Tales of the Ninja TMNT, which is a new series that has a cover by Kari and myself. Be coming out in a month, September.
There you go.
So, yeah, there you go.
Do they even still make ash cans? Like the actual ash cans? Like, because I'm like, there's not a lot of people don't smoke as much as they used to back in the day.
Yeah. Well, you know, in this sense, an ash can is, it used to be cheap, like.
Yeah, a little comic you throw away.
Not a comic you throw away, but a comic you just made on a copy machine.
Yeah.
They call those like a zine. Exactly. But ash cans, like, I mean,
I'm just asking random questions like, yo, you still got ash cans?
Well, I mean, like, I'm sure you can buy them, but they don't have them in any public spaces anymore.
They don't. That's really what I'm asking. Because obviously, like, the old school Marvel offices, they used to have them, you know, like, because I know they made ash cans, like, so the editor could see what the issue is going to be, reads it. Okay, this is good. Throws it out, you know. But there's no ash cans in offices anymore. That's funny, man. Times have changed, people. All right, so let's start wrapping it up. So make sure you follow Throwdown on Twitch and Twitter. Join the YouTube, sign up, subscribe, all that good stuff. Join the Discord. Shout out to the Discord gang, you know, for the questions and the news and all that good stuff. We are also on every podcast app on the planet. You can't miss us. So look for Throwdown Show, two words, Throwdown Show. And of course, links for everything are down below. Once again, our show is Tony Polanco. And tonight, I was joined by Emilio Lopez.
See you next time.
Carlos Romero.
Peace out.
Brett Murdoch.
Deuces.
Richard Bailey Jr.
Have a good week, everybody.
And Brian Mungioma.
At this point in time, you might as well just recast everyone else in the show.
Okay. I actually don't know the reference. Oh, yes. Fucking God of War, bro. Fuck. Yeah, no, you're right about that. They're recasting the little boy now, you know? So, yeah, this show is going to be a mess. You know, they're like, fuck it.
More black lesbian.
Yeah, right. You never know. You know, I kind of want them to do that just to see the chaos, you know?
Well, is it because of a time skip or just because they didn't like the kid?
I'm assuming it's because of a time skip. Isn't a kid going to grow? You know? Let that motherfucker grow. Yeah, man. Yeah, I think they're using an excuse like, oh, we recast him, recast this kid. That kid looks weird, you know? But I think it's for season two he's being recast. So I think the season one kid is fine, you know? You know, he looks very weird, you know? I'm like, yo, what's up with that face, bro? You know?
I say that they should have the balls and recast him with a certain actor from The Odyssey.
Yes! Actor? Brian?
Elliot Page?
Yes. Actor?
Honestly, if you're aiming to cast a perpetually 13-year-old awkward boy, nailed it.
I agree, but we're not going to discuss that any further before we get in trouble. All right, guys, we shall return on Thursday. Later.
Peace.